if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
Hello, hello, and for me, for the second time this year, but for the first time for you, ahoy hoy! It's Dan, it's BRB UK, it's 2020 again, and it's episode 375 again, isn't it, Coleman?
Hi!
Thrown under bus.
Sorry, everyone, sorry.
That's all right, we'll let you off. But all I demand, Coleman, I don't mind, it's always lovely to have a chat with you and Tim. Say hello, Tim, by the way.
Hello, Tim, by the way.
Very good. The way you're describing it, it made it sound like you've been possessed by something.
Kind of. Have you ever seen Poltergeist?
Yes.
And the girl's watching the TV, just static.
Are you about to tell me my mother enjoys, you know, putting certain things in her mouth in hell?
I believe that's The Exorcist, which
that
is a very
correct.
Different
yeah,
film.
The Exorcist. Damn it. I just heard something vaguely Catholic with an ist at the end.
If instead her watching the static of the TV signifies her talking to the poltergeists off the other side, instead of that being ghosties and such, if it was just a TV, that's kind of how if I've been possessed by the static of a TV in the 80s. That's kind of how it went.
Invaded by the audio gremlins.
These days, they don't know what static on the TV looks like anymore, do they?
Yeah. But it goes in and out, so it kind of sounds like it's only happening when I'm talking. So something went very wrong with my audio input.
Excellent.
But all fixed now.
Excellent, also.
We hope.
Yeah, unless you're listening to version 3 of this podcast, then it isn't.
Yeah, then you might not be listening to me.
Couple hundred episodes in before we lost an episode. Come on.
Yeah, that's not too bad. Yeah. That is
I don't think we lost an episode since like episode 9 or something.
Number of days since audio accident at work, 0.
Yeah, one of them.
One of them. So, chaps, good Cthulhu-based holidays.
Lovely.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Tim?
Yeah, great.
Lovely. spread some Christmas cheer.
Yeah, everywhere.
We're a bit so far from it now that I can't be bothered to talk about it.
No, I can't remember what we talked about last time we had this conversation. So yes, Coleman.
Yeah.
I have here on my agenda something that you're going to wrap up Nintendo Direct pretty quickly.
Even quicker than when we first did this and lost the episode.
You've had some practice, so...
Wrap that sucker up!
While we've been away, there have been two Nintendo Directs. The first was a Pokemon Direct, talking about Pokemon Dog with a Sword in His Mouth and Dog with a Shield for a Face. the biggest news is basically they're going to release two sets of DLC and an expansion pass to flog you that DLC.
I have a question.
Yep.
At any point in Pokemon, do you run after the dog in-game going, Fenton! Fenton! Bloody hell, Fenton! Fenton!
I haven't, but I'm
Please
pretty
do.
Sure you could do that yourself if you wish to.
Excellent.
It's portable as well, so you could be in a crowded area to
Excellent.
Freak people out.
Excellent. And could I herd some sheep as well while I do that?
Sure,
as
why
well?
Not? I mean, there are sheep-type Pokemon, and there is a corgi-type Pokemon in the game.
Amazing.
So
right, that's it. I know what I'm doing for the rest of the week. See you suckers later.
So yeah, you could buy the DLC piecemeal, which will... That will give you new stories for the game and stuff. And also, there will be new Pokemon that you can catch, which will be some of the old redesigned Pokemon, some new ones and stuff. But in order to catch those, you need the DLC. But you can find them... You can trade for them if you don't have the DLC with your friends, or you could battle them and fill up your Pokedex by seeing them in random battles out in the world. So that's pretty cool.
Well, I mean, because one of the things that just kind of I was thinking about during the past couple of days was that there's never really been this kind of DLC-gated content in Pokemon before, has there?
No, because what they do is they'll go, okay, here's Color 1, Color 2, those are the names of the game, and then after about a year, they'll go, here's Color 3, and it is the best of both games with new improvements and stuff, and they'll flog that to you for full price. Now what they're doing is they're going, here's initially I believe it was a $29.99 expansion pass, now it's, I think they dropped it down to like £25 instead, because I think people were a bit miffed about the price of the expansion pass.
And I assume you think that's a preferable option to being flogged a full price game, which
Yeah, basically, I like my progress to carry over without having to, you know, divvy up link cables or cloud passes or whatever. You know, just bolt onto the game. It's fine. So yeah, you can buy the two things piecemeal, or as I say, you can get the expansion pass, which will entitle you to, I believe it's a Pikachu suit and an Eevee suit as well, which you, which look quite cute. Not like a full body furry type suit. I mean,
To be honest, I was imagining more of like a onesie.
I mean, there are characters in the game, that are like Pokemon maniacs and they wear a onesie of a Pikachu or an Eevee when they fight. These are more like, they look kind of like football uniforms, football outfits, the t-shirt, shorts, and they've got the characters emblazoned on them, use them for fighting in stadiums and stuff. Yeah, Pokemon battles.
Blended.
The other Nintendo Direct was about Super Smash Brothers, and the biggest thing there is a brand new character. This will be the fifth character in the current lineup of DLC fighters, and this is Blythe, who is the main protagonist of Fire Emblem, the current version of Fire Emblem Three Houses, I believe. And not only is it Blythe as a male character, but it's also Blythe as a female character, so you can pick and choose which one you want. And they come with not just sword fighting, but all of the legendary weapons, which you can switch between. So you'll have like an axe, a bow and arrow, all these kind of things. Looks pretty cool. Seems to have gone down like a lead balloon in the Smash Brothers community.
Why?
Someone has taken... Well, I don't know if you've seen any of the videos when they've announced the characters, but they'll show the New York Nintendo Center, where they'll live stream the big announcement from Nintendo Direct. And each time they're like, oh my God, Banjo and Kazooie, rah! You know, look, every time a new character, they all go mad. They hug each other. They even went mad for a Sans from Undertale costume in one of them, one of the announcements. This time they do Blythe and they're like, there was no enthusiasm whatsoever. And then now people seem angry because, bearing in mind, there are now seven different characters from Fire Emblem in Smash Brothers. That there seems to be more Fire Emblem characters than there are Mario characters in the game. But apparently that was the wrong Fire Emblem character for you to include.
Yeah, see, I don't know much about this character because I haven't played the latest one, Three Houses, which I might pick up at some point because I do like those, you know, the Fire Emblem games in general. But yeah.
And isn't the Switch version, again, it's like a mix of the two 3DS versions, but you improve for the... It's like what they used to do for Pokemon, but for Fire Emblem.
Yeah, and I'm not entirely sure, but I haven't played any of the Three Houses in any iterations yet, basically. I didn't pick this one up, but I might at some point. But yeah, so I don't know how that character kind of plays into this, but there are lots of Fire Emblem characters to choose from. I guess that's part of the attraction of why they keep on putting some of them in, and it's cross promotion with another one of their games, so that's good for them. It's probably easier than doing some of the licensing for other things as well, which, you know, probably takes a lot more work. But yeah, I can see how it's a bit less exciting for some of the fans if it's just another Fire Emblem character,
you're not getting it right. It's annoying to me because it's another Fire Emblem character. It's annoying to the rest of the Smashing community because it's the wrong Fire Emblem character.
But doesn't that just hint at the fact that there'll be probably another Fire Emblem character down the line as well, kind of thing? I don't know.
Well, that's it. That's the other announcement as well. So Blythe gets added to the roster on the in late January. I think it's the 28th, 29th. There will be a second set of DLC that they've decided to go through. And initially it was going to be 5 and done. And now they're going for another 6 on top of that. So 11 and done. Maths. And they're going to do a second set of a second expansion pass. I believe that's going to be priced the same as the first one, but include 6 instead of 5 characters. So that's pretty sweet. But yeah, it's, I guarantee the one of those 6 will be another Fire Emblem flipping character. Yep. Yeah. They've also said that they like how passionate all the fans are and stuff, but no amount of suggesting is going to sway. All those 6 characters have been picked. They're just being created now.
Mm.
Who would you like in Smash Brothers?
Someone
I care about?
I would like either Big Daddy or Golden Haystacks.
Giant Haystacks.
I don't know why I said Golden Haystacks. Two
very dead British wrestlers.
Yeah, when you said,
hey, that's what I'd like to see.
When you said Big Daddy, I thought you were at least going video game reference with BioShock, but you know.
Oh, well, that as well. That'd work.
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. You can just pick up a copy of PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale or
Pazazba
to play as the Big Daddy.
Pazazba.
Yeah. I'd go for the giant poo in Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Or the mayor out of Wotham.
Okay. Oh, okay. Sure. What about you, Tim?
I don't care. I'm not going to play it. So someone that's going to upset more people or someone that's going to please more people, whichever is more exciting. I don't really care. Like, I don't even care enough that much to care enough to, yeah.
No. I would like a cart from Mario Kart.
Yeah,
the cart.
I would like one of the S blocks from Tetris because they really p*** me off.
Brilliant.
And surely they've got, like, every Mario character and general Nintendo character you could stuff in it almost, no? They can't have many gaps left.
Is it like it's like a turducken of Nintendo characters is what you're saying? So you got Mario, stuffed inside him's Luigi, stuffed inside him's Little Mac, stuffed inside him's Yoshi.
We never said anything about stuffing characters inside. That's all you, Dan. That's all on you.
Oh, lovely.
You say we can't have any other Mario characters in there, but I think we've had three games with a groundswell of support for people trying to get Waluigi into the game.
Yeah.
And it's still not happened.
And there's about 800 Pokemon they can always, you know, start cranking out the kid desperate.
Yeah, why not? Gengar. That'd be good. I'll have a Gengar.
I'll have a Gengar.
I'll have a Gengar.
Gengar Goody Goody Watcher.
That's the bugger.
Lovely.
Moving on.
PlayStation.
Yep.
They've looked on with envy at how Nintendo have mixed their interactions with the adoring gaming public up and have decided they're going to eventually follow suit and really not go to E3 and just do it on their own damn schedule and announce the things in their own damn way. Admittedly, they did also do this last year, but now it's not just 1 year. This is definitely a trend. And considering it's in the year where the PS5 is going to launch, read into that what you will. Is this the death knell of E3? I mean, I could argue it's probably not been that massively relevant since about 2013, to be perfectly honest with you.
Well, since Tim hasn't been to it since then.
Tim hasn't been to it since then.
It's been downhill since then.
So, are you ready? Are you ready
yes, I am.
The ESA, their response, which is clearly written by some Burke in marketing?
Go on then. Mm-hmm. I love marketing. Marketing.
Okay. do you want it in American accent? Non-American accent?
American is, where it's
always
from.
Always American.
Well, not always. But this is an American, so...
Trump supporter American.
Trump supporter American, right.
The more Dale from King of the Hill, the better.
Yeah. E3 is a signature event celebrating the video game industry and showcasing the people, brands, and innovations redefining entertainment loved by billions of people around the world. E3 2020 will be an exciting high-energy show featuring new experiences, partners, exhibitor spaces, activations. And programming that will entertain you and veteran attendees alike. Exhibitor interest in our new activations is gaining the attention of brands that view E3 as a key opportunity to connect with video game fans worldwide. Make America great again.
I know off mic we've done this before.
Yeah, I slightly made it even worse this time.
Yeah, the overpronunciation of certain words I think is brilliant.
That's right, but there's one certain word I'm mystified by.
Yes.
Yeah.
What the hell is an activation? Delay shove a battery up your ass or something? I mean, I don't know. What's going on?
It's one of those things where
very fixated on things being put places
have
this
a
episode.
Booth
I can
where
only
you
apologize.
Take a photo of the statue of the thing from the game or on the motorcycle from the thing on the game. You get to sit on it, take a photo, and tweet something with that hashtag.
And possibly win a special edition of the game.
There. Yeah.
And then, the hell is new Is it a bloody light switch?
That's
activated
what I think
it.
Is.
Activated it.
Is things
it's rubbish.
That
it's
entertain
nonsense.
Your audience while providing the opportunity of hashtagability things.
It's PR speak.
Yes.
The
is that
hell
too?
Is I'm asking? Hell is activations.
Activations.
So anywho, activations. As said previously, this is PlayStation's second year out of E3,
yeah.
And there was kind of a lot of talk about this last year when they went, oh, PlayStation had pulled out. Could this be the death knell for E3? Will this be the end of E3? One of the big names has pulled out. And, well, big name has pulled out after EA and after Nintendo.
We did talk about this last year and say it would be interesting to see what they are doing in light of a console launch, because it's more interesting to see if they feel they have to get that in people's hands. But you think there's a possibility of still having consoles on the floor even without their presence? They might have some PS5s showing stuff.
I don't think there'll be PS5s there. I think there'll be PS4s, but presented by third parties there, just to play their games on. But I don't think you can get that kind of support from PlayStation. As this is the second year, I still don't think this is the death knell for E3, because PlayStation's pulled out 2 years running. If it happens next year when they have a new console out, then I think you've got to start worrying.
See, I don't know. If they're not doing it this year, I don't see why they...
Why they do it next year.
And I think for the amount of money they have to invest in just doing E3, they can not rush their developers to get stuff out that early in the year in time for that, and then have more time for Gamescom. And I think we did talk about this before when we were saying that Giant Bomb were talking about the fact that with the slight switch and change of the kind of heads of PlayStation being Europe, that they might be more European focused, and that focusing on Gamescom might be a sign of that. I don't think it's as cut and dry on that just because they're European. I think it's also, it was, you know, the way the business was heading generally anyway. As we said, they weren't there last year. And I think it's something where Gamescom is better in the year time-wise than E3 is as well. And you don't have to rush something to get something out for E3. You can take a bit more time to go to Gamescom. And they're going to have their own presentations and stuff anyway, that's going to get, you know, the Nintendo Direct-style presentation where they present the PlayStation 5. And I think that's better for them if they do that in isolation away from E3, and then they can pick and choose the time that suits them the best to do that. And I think that's a better decision.
I don't know. I kind of get the feeling that essentially, like, the platform kind of plinth, as it were, has kind of been ceded to Microsoft here in terms of, like, the big media tentpole stuff. And, you know, perhaps conscious, there is a conscious decision not to do that, because, you know, Microsoft's very much going to be leading, I think, on a kind of a, hey, look, we're a gaming platform, not just a console. I think that's very much going to be their messaging this year. And probably Sony don't have anything to go up directly against that, and probably made a judgment call that actually, well, no, that's a fight we know we're going to lose, so let's just control the message, get our activations on our own terms, and you know, actually not have their PR schedule dictated to them.
Yeah, exactly,
I think maybe how they're going to be thinking about it.
Personally, I think this is a really big opportunity missed by PlayStation to come out on the stage and, following on from CES, where they've come out and gone, here's the PlayStation 5 logo, and it's got...
actual hell.
Yeah, where people have gone, well, yeah,
and
that's
you just
the logo.
Know they spent millions and millions on
really
someone
hope
going,
they did.
So remember the brand synergy we had going from PS3 to PS4? Well, hear me out here. We take that 4, put it to one side, replace it with a 5.
See, I really hope there wasn't a load of consumer marketing. Like, they probably had to do I really hope it wasn't an overspend in that department. I really hope it was just a case of, look, if we just change out the 4 for the 5, it looks like this. Are we okay with that? Yeah, good. Like, I hope it was as almost simple as that. You know, it probably wasn't.
The thing about that is they went, here's our logo. And a lot of people went, yep, that looks like the PS4 logo with a 5 on it. I don't know why you had to go to CES to say that. Did you have to keep your slot? What's going on here? Was this just because they had to pad out the Sony thing and bring out PlayStation? You could have gone to E3 and then, you know, come out front and center, new CEO and everything for the PlayStation Games Entertainment stuff, and come out and gone, guys, I mean, look at that logo. Look at it. All right, see you later. See you next year, guys.
But,
and then off they go.
But taking away from E3 takes away multiple problems. One, they have to do it quite early in the year, and before they're probably wanting to announce some of the details they'd want to announce. And the later they do it, the more they can react to what Microsoft has already said. But then also, they don't have to do it live, that they pretty much have to do on an E3 stage presentation. They tried something a bit different at E3 the last year they did it, and it was rubbish, and it was like all the pan pipes and everything going in between each thing. And so, and well, it just didn't come across well. I think it would have been a nice thing to be at, but I don't think it was a good thing to watch.
No, I'm not talking about them going out and showing off the PS5 early. I'm talking about them going out and literally showing the logo off again.
just doing that. Yeah.
No. What they're going to do, it's not going to be PS5. They're going to make it PlayStation 5 this time. We're not just a one-trick pony. We got more than one logo, suckers.
They just leave it on screen for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Just silence. Yeah, that's what I want for E3.
Yes, please. If you don't do that, Sony, you're missing a trick.
Would you like a Nintendo headline?
Why not? We've already had so many.
Sure. Okay, so Nintendo Directs weren't the only big news while we've been away. We've spoken about this before, the Super Nintendo World theme park. So this is either an extension to Universal Studios or a brand new land connected to Universal Studios. But either way, Nintendo Universal Studios, they teamed up. They are going to release the first version of Super Nintendo World in Osaka, Japan this summer. And the only thing we've really seen of this is a kind of artist representation, and it doesn't show any rides or anything. It just kind of showed Mario and a background. And they've now released a music video starring, so I'm going to get this right, Galantis and Charlie XCX for a new music video called We Are Born to Play, which shows a load of people playing Switches. Warp pipe show up, they go in the warp pipe, and they all come out in what I'm assuming is Super Nintendo World. However, it is
all come out in hell.
None of it is anything to do with the theme park. There is no real prop here, except for people on CG backgrounds. It's a nice song. It's fine, you know. But what it looks like, the interpretation I'm getting from this music video is you get a wristband, you get an app for your phone, you link the two together, and you use the AR of your phone camera to go, there's a big question block, I'm going to hit that. Ooh, coins, let's collect coins.
It does sound like hell.
I really, really hope they're like floating midair, so you're going to see a bunch of people just jumping around like complete nutters. It's going to be great. That has to be a thing.
Like a silent disco mosh pit.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. It's going to be great. It'd be like watching people play Fortnite, but in real life, just jumping up and down, spinning around. It'd be amazing.
It's not something I really go into a lot on the show because we talk more video games, but I'm a big nerd for theme parks and rides.
Hang on. Don't you get terribly motion sick at, like, well, frankly, walking down the street?
Yeah, but the thing is about rides is they only last couple of minutes, so it tends to be
it's
over.
It's okay to be uncomfortable for a couple of minutes, yeah.
And I'm less about the theme. I'm less about the roller coasters and more about like Disney dark rides, where it will be like you go for a set of cars and it all looks. I love animatronics as well, the way they kind
so
of
like Small World
film
and stuff like that.
I can't stand it. It's a Small World, but yes, you're on the right kind of track. Railroad track, theme park track. I'm a big nerd when it comes to stuff. I like looking up the history of rides and the way they've adapted over the years and stuff. I love theme parks. This looks like they've invented a theme park that I will never want to visit. I hope so. You can't get away with just showing a bunch of AR off. You need something.
I want Mario Kart roller coasters and
Dodgems, mate. What you want?
Oh, see, like anyway, big log flume type thing, but in a Mario
log
Kart
log flume.
Yeah,
it's still a log flue.
Log flume.
No, it's flume.
No, it's flue.
No, it's flume.
Is it?
It's not flume.
You guys keep saying flu and flume, and we'll see what happens.
It is bloody log flume.
Yes, thank you.
Colloquially known as log ride, all right? Shut up, yeah. You fancy words.
You can go on your log rides.
Yeah, bloody will. No one's going to stop me.
They haven't shown off anything to go. Here is the physical ride that you'll get to ride in Super Nintendo World.
That is disappointing.
World. Yeah, I hope there is. And apparently they're meant to be launching Mario stuff with the theme park and then later on bringing in other Nintendo characters. And also it's meant to come out in the US at some point. I think they're going to the Orlando, Florida version of Universal Studios, which makes sense because they've got more land to play with. And also the Osaka version is going to launch just before the Summer Olympics, which is also in Osaka, July 24th, I think that is.
All of the money.
Hey, that's your headlines. Do you want some points of interest?
Yeah, interest my points. All right, Coleman, I'm just assuming, well, I know this is a fact because we talked about it already, but the recording issues. All of the games that you're looking forward to have pretty much been delayed up the wazoo, haven't they?
The curse of Coleman strikes again.
All three, we've got four delays. Three of those games are games that I put in my games I'm looking forward to in 2020. Which you also didn't hear because recording issues meant I lost the last 20 minutes of that show.
Amazing.
And also there's a fourth one that has another significance to me, which I'll mention in just a moment. But first of all, Marvel's Avengers has been delayed. That's now been pushed back to the 4th of September 2020.
Right. Any reasons given other than faces making faces not look weird as hard?
All these games require polish, Dan. Final Fantasy VII Remake has been pushed back by a month, so that now comes out on the 10th of April.
But hang on, I mean, I've seen some footage going around about like demos. Presumably that's from a trade show. That's not like a publicly available trade show. I mean, because it sounds like the first episode of it's going to be so chuffing short that if you put a demo out, you're pretty much buggered.
Well, me and Tim, did you get to play the demo?
We both played the demo at EGX.
Yeah, we both played the CGX. We spoke about it in the EGX show, if you want to go back and listen to that. The demo is the room where you go and fight the big scorpion mech. You know, only fight, don't fight when his tail's up, all that stuff. But they've kind of expanded it out to add in some fights along the way and made it a much bigger room and stuff. And it was a pretty enjoyable demo.
I am looking forward to it much more having played the demo as well.
Yeah, I think you could speed through it in under 20 minutes, but it had a 20-minute time limit to it, and you could spend much longer in that one area. So it's going to be a lot of sections of Midgar that you recognize from a small section of the game if you were speeding through it, but I'm assuming there's going to be more to do playing that game from what I've played.
I mean, I'm not joking. Haven't they got a little bit of a problem as far as kind of they need to get it out quick enough for it still all to be relevant on the PS4?
I don't know, maybe you could get PS4 versions on the first episode PS4, the rest are on PS5.
Yeah,
maybe you know, backwards compatibility will have such a big stake in this next generation that they could all come out on the PS4 and you could use them on the PS5.
Well, actually,
that's
a kind of an emerging trope I'm quite pleased seems to be emerging.
That
they've learned from locking people out of their previous game catalogue. And, you know, I'd imagine the new systems are powerful enough to actually kind of partially emulate anyway. So
I'm really hoping backwards compatible means backwards compatible and not backwards compatible pending approval of the publisher for us to do some stuff to it, like Xbox One's been. Because I've got Xbox games that I want to play and I can't. You know, got to plug in a 360 or an original. Anyway. If you thought, that Marvel's Avengers, that's been pushed back to September, that gets them well out of the way of Cyberpunk 2077.
That's a shame, because I'm looking forward to Marvel Avengers anyway, but yeah.
Yeah, Cyberpunk 2077, that's also been delayed to September 17th.
Oh,
what?
I mean, this news was like hot off the press the first time we recorded this, but it's had a few more days to percolate, and obviously some people are upset about it, and obviously that's fine. But have you seen the kind of notes from the developers and what they've said about it?
Yeah, so what it looks like is, and I'm seeing a lot of comments of, if the game's delayed, I guess the developers won't be pressured into crunch time. Things are a bit different over at CD Projekt Red. They looks like they are getting a lot more crunch time.
They get to have more months of just absolutely ruining your life as opposed to taking it easy. I think is probably how it's going to go.
Do you remember? I think it was like a year and a half ago. There was a big thing about CD Projekt, and it kind of got swept under the rug, pretty dismissed by disgruntled ex-employees and stuff. But there was a complaint about crunch time and non-overtime being paid and stuff, and it kind of went away very quickly. And I'm wondering if there's some truth to that that could pop up again.
Right. It's both probably the right thing to do and also a little bit hard to single them out for criticism when it seems an endemic thing across the industry. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying we shouldn't push up against it, but it's something that, yeah, as I said, I don't think it's solely them. Like it came up with Red Dead as well, didn't it? That was a possible thing as well. And I think...
I mean, Rockstar have had that finger pointed at them a number of times, to be perfectly honest with you, but...
Oh, yeah, if you remember the Widows of Rockstar. Yeah. That was a big thing.
And I think generally there's a lot of big companies that will, you know, put pressure on their employees to do that because of the company that they work for. I'm not saying it's right, but there are places where you're obviously going to get some employees possibly kicking up about that fairly and unfairly, basically. I mean, so we don't really know without further proof, but yeah, I don't know. It's a difficult thing.
Some people have said something. We've got no way to know if it's right or wrong, so we can't possibly comment on it.
The one thing I will say is
we'll have a damn good go, though.
Just because a game has been delayed, that certainly doesn't alleviate the pressure. It might do immediately in the short term, but it just means, as you say, possibly more months of, you know, having to knuckle down and really...
I mean, don't they just want to make a coal man happy this Christmas?
Exactly.
For the first time ever.
Yeah.
So
poor Coleman.
It's been so many Christmases he's had to go without the video games he wanted that year.
Hey, I did all right the last 2 years. It was before that, was when the streak was carrying on. Marvel's Avengers, Final Fantasy VII Remake, and Cyberpunk 2077. Those are all delays of the ones that I picked for my games to look out for this year. The other one has another significance because my girlfriend for Christmas told me she pre-ordered
your girlfriend for Christmas, or your girlfriend, comma,
girlfriend
for Christmas.
Girlfriend's Christmas, not just for Christmas, Coleman.
Yeah, they're for life.
Not necessarily.
She pre-ordered me a game that was coming out later in the year, which has now been delayed.
Aww.
So Iron Man VR has been delayed. That was
Curse of Coleman again.
That's now been pushed back to May 15th, which isn't too bad.
Yes, that's not too bad. Overall delays, that's fairly short. But I don't know. I was looking forward to a nice big VR game to get stuck into again.
I played that. It was tricky, but once you get used to it, that's a very fun game. Mm. And you might be thinking, Dan, how the hell did you play that game with your travel sickness?
How the hell did you play that game with your travel sickness, Coleman?
I took drugs.
Hey! Amazing.
I took tablets to stop me getting sick.
Lovely. Because that's how much you love the Iron Man.
I really wanted to try that game, to be fair. It was a decision. It was to see if I would want to buy it or not.
Mm-hmm. And now you
do. And do you want to buy it?
Yeah,
and that's why it's been delayed.
Yeah.
They heard my feedback. They went, he's looking forward to this one.
Seriously, games, people, just make a man-child happy this Christmas, okay? Jesus.
Remember when Dan played Gran Turismo at EGX and he was complaining about it and they put the game back?
Hey, mate, I was on point with that. I was on point with that criticism. I got the internet ripped me a new one, but I was totally on point with that.
Yeah.
So I think, anyway. Many people disagree with me. Because you said a bad thing about Gran Turismo. Burn him with fire.
Do you remember when Frawls previewed Twisted Metal, whatever the last one was on the PS3, and said it looked like it was going to be rubbish, and then it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
Hmm. Destiny 2, Dan. You've got points of interest, too.
Yeah, there's been a thing going on in Destiny 2. There's been some kind of mad puzzle. So,
yeah, why are we talking about Destiny again? That's the mad puzzle, eh? Eh?
Thanks, Tim. Thanks for that, mate. Glad you're bringing your A game with the bants again. Thank you very much.
Top bants.
So there's been a big kind of community puzzle thing going on. Bungie have done this a couple of times before when they've been revealing new weapons or kind of a cool thing for the community to get involved in. And it's usually been
jacket.
Yeah, well, exactly. Exactly, you know, come spend more money with us. And it kind of, there's been, if you've bought the latest expansion, you've seen that there are kind of, like Osiris, the guy who always likes fiddling about the timelines back in the picture, and there's these corridors of time where during the campaign you go in and find a guardian who was thought to be dead but isn't so much, it turns out, in an alternate timeline.
Surprise.
And you bring him back from that alternate timeline.
Guardian Jeff.
Yes, Jeff. Yep, Jeff 37 is who you brought back. And Osiris randomly had a new quest this week, which no one was expecting. He told you to go off and explore the corridors of time. So people solved puzzle number one, which led to kind of like a 19-piece maze that you had to piece together like a jigsaw puzzle. But it turns out that was only part of it. Part two was a 4,400 piece version of said puzzle.
Mm-hmm. And then if you complete that, you had to buy 20 different jackets from the Bungie
So on, you know how Bungie loves a roadmap, and they put like, there's another gun due to be, another exotic quest due to be released in 2 weeks' time called Bastion. And when this quest dropped, people think,
wait, is this a quest that someone starts narrating you while you play it?
Yeah, why not?
Wasn't that Bastion? The narrator.
He did a video game joke, Dan. See?
Oh, no. Go. Very good. Very good.
Wait, is this the quest where there's a robot in Overwatch?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm out of Bastion jokes.
So anyway, that big, massive puzzle got solved this morning through a massive collaborative community effort. And it turns out that all it unlocks is the bounty for Bastion, which they said was coming, and they've now subsequently tweeted, oh, thanks for all the thousands of people who got involved and helped solve it. Now that you've all done that, people just pick bounty up next Tuesday. And, yeah, probably buy a jacket or something, I don't know. So the community's a little bit miffed, because I think the secrecy and hype around it built up such a level, I think people were expecting something a little more than something that had already been revealed by Bungie. So there we go.
As much as Tim uses the joke of, has Destiny got any story now?
Actually, it does.
Bungie rewarding you for beating a raid by allowing you to buy a jacket is the one I'm going to hang my hat on every time.
It is a little bit, yeah, it's a little bit.
Well done, you beat the raid. Now go buy a jacket off of us. Say you beat a raid. No, that's not how prizes work. Give me a jacket.
But some people have a bit of a money sense imbalance, and if they think something will make their EP or female or non-binary gender equivalent larger, they will.
Right, DualShock 4.
Yes,
it now has a big butt, and it cannot lie.
Yes, it does now have a massive big butt with an OLED screen.
I swear they've got a warehouse of OLED screens left over from the Vita. Yeah, they've stuck as many as they could into PSVR. Now they've got to find other uses.
Exactly. So
they're going to be stuck in DualShock 5 next.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'd imagine that's what's going to be the touch panel. It's going to be this. There are, as we speak, Sony employees cutting up the little screens with scissors so they can make little touch pads. That's not how it works.
Smudgy thumbprints all over your controller.
It's going to look great.
There's been some weird, apparently leaked images of the PS5 pads that I've seen floating around, and none of them look.
Yeah, well, it does corroborate that. So basically, this 30 quid accessory, or 25 quid, I think, in the UK accessory, is you plug it into the bottom of the DualShock 4, bish bash bosh, you got two paddles on the back of it. Apparently, it's quite good.
Flappy paddles.
They are flappy paddles, the flappiest of paddles. And you can reprogram them to any one of the buttons on your DualShock 4. Presumably not like gestures on the touchpad or anything like that. But, you know, you can make it any two buttons you want.
Not the nuclear button, then?
No. There's never been one of those on the PlayStation controller, Timothy. Sorry, mate. Apparently it's quite nice. But everyone thinks this is a hint about extra paddles, extra buttons we're going to see on the DualShock 5, and does Sony want to... I think they've seen, with a little bit of envy, the success that the Xbox Elite controllers have had, and just assume that all of that is paddles. So if we put paddles on a thing, that's going to make it better.
Yeah, I wouldn't be at all surprised if this is getting some compatibility ready for PS5. Like, I think you might be able to use this in conjunction with a PS4 pad to then fully operate a PS5. Pad as a PS5 pad, basically.
There were leaked images about 3 days ago, I think it was, as we're recording this show, and they look pretty legit. But you know, people can you can design something, you can render something, you can make it look pretty damn legit.
What?
But what they've shown off as a pad, and apparently this is a leaked image. I mean, one looks like a blueprint type thing for a patent, and then the other one looks like a mock-up of said pad, and it does just it looks like a PS. DualShock 4, but with the button add-on, but built in, no screen on the touchpad, but you know, it looks pretty convincing.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be, so as you say, I wouldn't be surprised if that is the, this is to get us ready for backwards compatibility, maybe let you use your controllers with the new console, get us ready of having that, that functionality. But also as well, to get that functionality in a SCUF controller, that's going to cost you 110 quid. So why not spend £25 on a, an upgrade that you can stick on your pre-existing controller?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, why not? It's a bit of a no-brainer, really. I mean, I don't know what the heck it does to the woeful battery life of your average DualShock 4.
Woeful on version 1 controllers. It's all right on V2.
Yeah.
V2.
And V2 being the ones that released at the same time as the
Pro.
The Pro.
Yeah, they're the ones that got the light on the front panel, basically.
I don't know what V2 point version it is, but I just recently got one. I got a Christmas present, actually. Aww. A nice red one. And what I really like as well now, with the new colors, they have the color on the faceplate, but they also have the color on the back as well, where on the V1s, they were color on the front and then black on the back. So now I have like a fully red controller that I really, really like.
Aww.
But that has
on
really
brand.
Good
for you.
Yeah. I'm wondering if, because one of my controllers is used for PlayStation, one of them is used for PC, and I'm wondering if there is backwards if there's compatibility with this button feature to use that on the PC, or if that is just limited to the PS4.
I'd imagine it's going to be with the PS4, because there are some issues with, like, if you do if you use Steam Link to play on the PC using a DualShock controller, it won't recognize the touchpad button.
Yeah, don't get me started on Steam Link. It does not like Xbox One for me.
No?
It really does not like my controller. It's like, I found a controller. Would you like to use it? Yes, please. 5 seconds later, I found a controller. Would you like to use it?
Damn it!
Still, yes, please.
Can you generally use the touchpad on PC?
I think they're...
You can program it to do
stuff.
But
think
not use
there
it
are,
as a touchpad.
Yeah, I don't think there's like official drivers that handle that, but I think I would need to check, but I think there must be community developed drivers out there that allow you to do.
Before it was officially supported, I'd done stuff with it on community drivers, so I'd assume so. I know you can use it as a button if you so wish,
and
but I don't think...
Do you get much use out of your flappy paddles on your... other like Xbox pads and stuff, Dan?
Yes, Dan, tell us about your flappy
paddles.
My flappy paddles, they are very flappy. I've been trying to lose a bit of weight recently, though, so they're slightly less flappy than they were. I mean, that's right, they're still glorified bingo wings.
And now a sensible answer.
Watch out for wind resistance.
And now an episode title, probably. I think they're very good for things like racing games and also FPSs as well. So, not that I'm any good at shooters, but some
you have
people,
a Elite controller.
Yeah, no, you is Elite.
You should be the best.
Well, it turns out that unfortunately, a bit like buying a really fast car, you don't instantly become amazing at all the driving or playing the FPSs. But some people that really rave about having like being able to jump in an FPS without having to take their thumbs off either of the thumbsticks. Some people find it very useful.
Hmm. Okay.
All right.
Good.
Yes.
Do you know what?
What?
I might go grab one and we'll talk about this. I'll report back.
Good.
Splendid.
Yeah.
Splendid.
Good.
But we've got one more point of interest, I understand, Coleman. So tickle me with it.
So this wasn't on the first show. This got added in post. BT, they've been on my wavelength the last couple of weeks because WWE has signed over from Sky Sports BT Sports. Bit weird. And all the stars have been in London. But anyway, be that here or there, BT have announced this week that they have teamed up with Google Stadia.
Oh, God.
The winner, if there ever was one. A winning combination. A broadband provider I don't like with a console I'm not... Well, not even console. A game service I'm not that plussed about at the moment.
Well, I mean, I'm due to try and negotiate a new broadband deal anyway because my contract's up. So should I see if I can con a free Stadia out of BT
for science? Yeah, I got mine coming up soon as well.
So if you are a new subscriber coming to looking for broadband and you sign up to BT, then they will be the first distributor in Europe for Google Stadia's cloud-based platform, meaning that BT broadband deals come bundled with a Google Stadia Premier Edition. So this is the one after the Founders Edition that got you the nice navy blue version of the Stadia and the what's the receiver called again? Google.
Chromecast
Ultra. I've got one of those, and I've forgotten the name of it. Got Chromecast Ultra, the 4K version.
Now, anyway, correct me if I am wrong.
Yep.
Didn't they try and do a similar deal with OnLive back in the day?
God, I can't remember.
I think they did, and I think it was a complete and utter
OnLive
dumpster
literally
fire.
Gave their consoles away to us at the time. Mm. So
yeah, they did. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But it's I don't know. I mean, I think this is a sign of Google getting pretty desperate with Stadia, to be perfectly honest with you.
I don't think it is. I mean, it's an interesting deal. It's not one I saw coming, but I think we've got to hold out on Google Stadia, because you've got to remember these versions, the early adopter versions, when you're actually having to pay for this service, that's the start. The whole idea is this is a free thing you can try out, see if you like it, and then invest.
There has been a thing where apparently Stadia's been getting fairly hammered on Reddit at the moment by even people that were quite ardent backers at first, and are generally a bit miffed that it does seem like they're currently paying a price to be beta testers, basically. Like, that's the general concern. And,
you've got to pay them money so you can spend money with them. It's a bit like a shopfront version of a raid jacket.
No, it's worse.
I still remain positive until I get to try the free version myself.
You have to pay to access a thing that you've had to pay up front for the equipment, that you then have to pay an overpriced version of the game that's you possibly already own. You know what I mean? Like, it's a really bad deal all round.
It is a terrible, terrible deal.
I've seen it at the moment in mainstream press still described as a Netflix-style approach, a gaming's equivalent of Netflix. And we discussed the problem with that. Like, the problem with that is that comes bundled with the idea of, okay, so I get access to all these things. And they don't mean that. They mean it's a streaming service. And it's a message that they're going to have to get around. But... like,
well, I tell you what, Microsoft are just running around stealing their lunch at the moment, quite frankly, with the way they're positioning xCloud, and I think the way they're going to really make it kind of like the backbone of a platform that you've always got access to your games. And if you bought it on one place on that platform, you've got it everywhere. You know, it's going to be very difficult for Google to match that offering in terms of value for consumer, I think.
But I do think Google has they've messed up their opportunity so far. I still think they have the resources and the time to turn that and the time to turn that around, possibly. But
although all I would say is,
I just don't know how they could have made an any worse start than they have done so far, basically.
But Google will give something kind of a good go, and then will pull the plug on it. And you know, just because they're investing in this and wanting to seem to make it work now doesn't necessarily mean that's going to be the case down the road.
I will point out a lot of the examples that have been shown for Google pulling out of services that they've launched. A lot of them are free services that they've cancelled down the line. This is something that you had to pay £120 to get into. So I'm assuming they'd be more hesitant to do that. But we'll see.
Not unless a mass number of people, and they'll have a certain number that they have to hit to make it worthwhile them doing that. Otherwise, it's better to give them their money back and say sorry and part ways.
Although you could argue that this is money for old rope. They're probably, you know, Google are upgrading their infrastructure and their server farms all the time. And, you know, this is something they can piggyback on it potentially. So it might not be costing them that much money.
Yes, but that's the problem at the moment. Either they've seen it as something they can invest a low-level amount of money in to get a possible high return, and they're just kind of betting on it. But I think it's something where they had a chance to do something really special and actually make a splash and actually take people away from the audiences that they're currently engaged with, or that, you know, the platforms they're currently engaged with. And I don't think they're going to do that with what they have now. Like, I think I think they underinvested massively, and if they wanted to do this, they needed to do it on a bigger scale than it currently looks like they're prepared to invest in.
This has been episode 375 of the Crapping on Google Stadia podcast.
Hey, do you know how much Anthem's worth at the moment?
Oh my God.
I bought that for £5 before Christmas and I still haven't installed it yet.
Good reminder. We'll get to that in a moment. Anyway, right. If you are interested in the whole BT Google Stadia thing, there are offers available right now until the 30th of January, where you can, if you pay, I think it's from $39.99 a month, then you get speeds of up to 300 megabits a second, which will also get you the Google Stadia Premier Edition package. That comes with the Chromecast Ultra, the controller, and the Pro subscription. And then from the 7th of February, that's when BT are going to start offering out a bunch of different packages for Stadia gaming with their internet. So we'll see. I'm assuming you can add that on. From the 7th of February, you can look at packages to add on to existing BT contracts from that point. But we'll see what happens with that.
Well, like I said, if I can convince them to give me one, as in a Stadia, I will report back.
Right, those are all the bits of news that we have for this week. And indeed, the start of January, let's talk about some games we flipping done played.
But I can go very quick, because I've jumped on the coattails of just about every Game of the Year list apart from ours, which said Sekiro Shadows Die Twice was the bestest game of 2019. So I picked it up, and I really am not the target demographic for these self-flagellatory Souls-like games or Souls games. I mean, it's a lot more engaging and has a bit more polish, I would say, than your average Souls game. But
yeah,
I don't know, there's still something just a little janky about it. And sometimes it does just feel unnecessarily brutal, like, oh, you've it's just slightly messed up that timing. Oh well, I'm gonna take all of your health and all of the things you just collected. I know that's a lot of the appeal for
that
some
sounds
people.
Like a Souls-like.
But anyway, I mean, it seems a perfectly good game. It's probably just not massively my bag, but it's fun. Yeah.
After saying that, Dan, you're probably not going to like this comment. I played Sekiro myself. I did give up at a point because it got too hard. There was an area where everything was on fire. A giant dude turned up, beat me so many times, and then after a while I beat him, and then he revived himself and hit me in one kill. So I got a little bit fed up. I will go back to it, but I will say this, because I've given up on a few Souls-like games now. This is by far the easiest one to pick
up. That's what I've heard.
Actually have instructions of what to do and teaching you things along the way, and a little bit more kind of stories pulled out for you rather than you got to read items along the way to figure it out. It's a very interesting game, and it takes a little while before it starts getting really, back to normal Souls like not telling you what to do. There was a moment where you approach like a mini boss and he killed me so many times, and he's got a spear or a lancer or whatever you call it, and he just stabs you and you're done. And it took me a while to realize, oh, there's an unlockable move you get. So whenever he thrusts his spear at you, you just stamp on it and then stab him in the face.
Nice.
So once I figured that out, I was like, oh, right. So there are areas that you could beat and it can be ridiculously hard, but you've got to use a lot of skill, or you could just unlock a move. And it will still be difficult, but it will be easier than you trying to do.
I think I know which route I'm going to be taking.
Switching it off and not coming back.
Yeah, pretty much. That's how you really defeat them. That's a very meta way to defeat them. If they don't exist, they can't beat you.
It's a very good game. And I will say at some point, because I was trying to do capture for something that didn't end up happening, but I did capture on my first playthrough, and like the first 10 hours of me getting my ass kicked over and over again, I decided to start again to get some different kind of footage. And after you've done 10 hours of that game, you can quite easily fly through back up to the point you were at and not die as many times and stuff. And it works out really well. And it looks very impressive if you've recorded it also. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Tim, you've been playing footballs.
Yeah, well, I mean, I will gloss over this a little bit because it's a little bit old and I only really put it on the agenda to slightly annoy Dan. But yeah, Pro Evo...
Oh, was it in VR as well?
Pro Evo Jesus. 2020. No, it doesn't complete the trinity of crapness for you.
Is it on tabletop VR?
Yeah. To give it its full name, as I noticed I didn't, it's eFootball Pro Evolution Soccer 2020.
Oh, shut up.
That's the title this year. I forgot that until I...
Is that only to,
week,
only to gloss over the fact they can't afford any of the licensed player names?
Possibly, but that's weird this year. They've got some licensed teams and not others, and some teams with the proper names. And I think
Tottenham Spam Cold Spur.
Mostly proper names. Like, Spurs is all the proper names, but they're not the name of the... actual, like, it's Tottenham WB. I have no idea what WB stands for, even though I've been playing it for some time. And yeah,
Kidney Bath FC,
yeah. And some of the stuff's weird, and trying to recognize the clubs from the badges that they put up in the schedule is a bit
from
weird
the badges,
and stuff like that. Badges, yes.
Oh.
But yeah,
how many badges?
All the badges, but yeah, like
all of the badges.
You know, I don't like that word, Tim.
I've mainly been playing in the Master League mode thing, and that's good fun. They've made some nice additions to that.
Is that at all like the Premier League?
No. Well, it can be, but you can still pick the league that you want. But Master League's just the mode where you get to take over as coach, and like you can buy and sell players and do all that stuff. But some of the stuff they've added to that is quite nice, like. Graphically, they've got like cutscenes and stuff where you can actually have like some like famous managers from the past.
So you can live your dreams of players. Jorge Mourinho. Yes.
You can play as Diego Maradona. They have Diego Maradona.
Oh, and, you have Diego Maradona. Well, he'll do anything for money.
I'm playing as Johan Cruyff. You can play as this different thing, and then you can also change their appearance. Like you can also customize. Or just make a complete custom character as the manager type thing as well.
You can take Diego Maradona and give him like a pink mohawk.
Well, you can. I don't think you can change. No, I don't know how much you can customize that because I didn't really mess around with it. I just picked Johan Cruyff.
Okay.
I was like, it'd be disrespectful to change the way you look. But then you can change. Like, you could just pick someone's appearance and then you could change their name to yours if you wanted, sort of thing as well. I know you can do that much basically. But yeah, like it's not. As graphically brilliant as FIFA. There was a time where I think Pro Evo may have even had the edge on FIFA at one point, but that's definitely not the case today. FIFA definitely looks better. But yeah, like play-wise, Pro Evo's been decent fun, basically. I'll leave it there just because there's something I want to talk about more than I did last week because I've played more of it, and we'll come on to that in a minute. But anyway.
Can I ask a quick question about Pro Evolution eFootball Soccer 2020
and by the way,
Standard
playing
Edition?
Playing it on Game Pass and playing it for free is amazing as well. But anyway, yeah.
Oh, that was the question. It's on Game Pass,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Ooh, does it
Dan?
Yes.
You know what we need to do.
Is it on PC Game Pass?
No, it's just on Xbox.
Well, that's where you're out of luck, mate, since I don't have an Xbox.
Oh no. I thought we could. I've only played Pro Evo once, and it was at EGX with a mate, and. I was sat next to two very noisy people playing the game next to me.
Because they were excited to play as West Glamorgan City, probably.
Well, I realized, it's because if you wanted to play FIFA, you had to queue up and go into the big box away from cameras. If you wanted to play Pro Evolution Soccer, you just walked up and played it because there were about three units.
Wow, that is some serious shade being thrown at there.
There were two people. One was getting very into the game and one was being very sweary. And those two people were, before I met them, Chris Tudor and John Brady. So there you go. There's a little early EGX story for you.
Excellent. Lovely. Yes. North East London. Tottenham Hotspur in PES 2019, apparently.
What was your other game then, Tim?
Well, I was going to talk about this in the Tabletop Tuesday slot, but I've been playing God of War, the card game, ahead of my time with that, basically. And that is mighty good fun, I will say. I will spoil my review a little bit just to say, yeah, I've been quite enjoying it. It's been really good. It's a card game where you've got like standees to represent your characters, and then you've got like character sheets and a deck of cards that you can kind of deck build with, basically. So,
oh wait, I remember this. This is you talked about this before in a preview thing. Isn't this cardboard standees rather than models?
Yes, but it really doesn't matter for the style of game that they're doing, and I think this really suits. Like, there's some drawbacks in terms of, like, replayability and stuff, and I've got to dig a bit deeper and play a few more games to see how that pans out a bit. But, like, generally, the basic gameplay is you get, like, a kind of almost like a tableau of cards, like a sequence of cards that make up a picture in front of you, basically. They refer to them as a mosaic, but it's a sequence of six to eight cards. There are various different combinations, but I think four to eight because there's some smaller ones as well, basically. But yeah, they make up like usually a double layered picture with like a front and a back. Then you've got like the standees that you line up as people, and in so you can play the game in solo mode as well. So you can play in like single player, and you play as Kratos,
boy.
I keep on referring to him as boy. Atreus, isn't it? Atreus, yeah. Mimir as well, basically Jeff, the head. Bob. So you play as those three, but you generally you can pick between those three, and then there's two other characters that you can pick as well, and like so you can play up to, but you can play up to four players at once, basically. And yeah, like basically you are lining up your little standee characters at the bottom of the cards, and that corresponds to like where you can melee attack and stuff like that, but you can generally range attack at a distance. But then you've got like the top and the bottom of the cards.
So you heard that here. You heard that first from Tim, by the way. The range attack is right. It strikes at a distance. Okay. Range attack gotcha. At distance.
Right. These sheep are small. These sheep are far away.
But basically, you're fighting people that are on the scene that are made up by those cards. But then those cards will change, like flip over and interact as you like either defeat the enemies or as other certain conditions are met on the cards and stuff. And it's really interesting. Like each level, and I'm trying to talk around it a bit without sort of going into it too much, because each level is a puzzle, and literally knowing the solution to that puzzle is part of the fun kind of thing. So I don't want to spoil any of the individual levels for anyone that wants to play it, basically. But for instance, if you were fighting like two big enemies in the middle, and there was one point either side where their power is dictated by how many tokens were on a pedestal, basically. And you had to do something to interact to get rid of those things on the pedestal, and that resulted their power dictated how much they attacked you and how many times they got to roll the defense dice, basically. So you got to interact with that to try and bring that down so they're not hitting you too hard. But there's various different ways you can do that, and it's attacking whether you want all the characters attacking one of them at once or splitting up, and yeah, like it's as you go through the game, the different things will tell you to flip cards over, and there will be different information on that side of the card. Some cards will reveal other cards underneath and stuff like that, and yeah, it's a interesting game design that I think's something I haven't. It's not like they've just copied something else and spat out a God of War game. Like they've actually thought about, okay, well, what's an interesting thing we can do that's a little bit different and still kind of feels in keeping with the original essence of the game as well. And I think it's based on the 2016 game, and it's based on all the Norse mythology rather than the Greek mythology of the original trilogy and stuff. But and so it's all in that setting, and all the levels are from that, and all the characters are from that sort of game. But yeah, like as a massive fan of that game, and as you know, I like my tabletop stuff, but I really enjoying it so far. So yeah, and also as we'll be talking about in a minute, but feature game for this Tuesday as well. So you can come along this Tuesday to tabletop and possibly win a copy as well. So, and I will also have a written review where I'll go into some more details coming up soon as well.
Carruthers of War.
But yeah, I recommend so far. Basically, it's been good fun.
I still think one of my big appeals of buying tabletop games that are a video game tie-in, I've got a few of them now, is getting models, little tiny little
yes,
models.
And I can see why you'd want that, but that would add to the price of a game. That's the one thing I need to look at as well, is I'm not sure how much it sells for, basically.
20,000 squillion pounds.
I think it's already going to be enough, but the component pieces are all like, it's a well designed and thought out game in terms of the game and in terms of like the box design and everything like that. Like they've gone through everything and done it well, basically. As I said, it would have been nice to
it's
have
got an RRP of £35.
Yeah, okay, that's not bad. And like they've probably had to not include models to hit that mark, and I think that is probably the wiser decision for this game, basically, because it does
then
help
the
that.
Way around that limited edition deluxe version and, you know, of the game.
You could easily get a model of Kratos and just substitute that in for, like, you just need, it's just a marker for where you are in relation to the card that you're battling and stuff, basically. So
stuff you, Mr. Logical.
Yeah.
I'll be quick on mine because we're low on time, but I finally played through The Last of Us Remastered, which I have attempted to play The Last of Us three times now, I think it is.
Right.
So,
and at last, have you lasted The Last of Us? Did you outlast The Last of Us?
I sat down and finished it.
Well done, you.
Start to finish, and it's a very long game. But yeah, so first time PS3 event thing, played it. The intro went, oh, that's a really good game. I'm going to get that when that comes out. Bought it on the PS3, started playing, stopped. PS4 version gets advertised, picked that up, started it, installed it, uninstalled and installed this game so many times, it's ridiculous. And now, you know, eventually I finally booted up and gone, right, going to play through this game, going to force my way through it, no matter how long or, you know, dredgerous it becomes. And
definitely some smutty joke in that. That's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to leave that
most
there.
Most probably. The Adventures of Strangled Dad is a very long game.
God, Strangled Dad. I forgot you were. That was the phrase you're obsessed with.
Adventures of Strangled Dad.
So this game, I won't explain the game of The Last of Us.
You strangle things.
It looks like Uncharted, but if the stealth elements of Uncharted were the entire game. And it's enjoyable, but it's up to a point. So initially, you're kind of the investment with when this game first came out, and you saw kind of the set pieces and stuff. You're like, "Whoa, wow, that looks amazing!" It's kind of dated a bit now, so that doesn't quite work the way you'd hope to. And then at some point, when kind of all the mechanics have clicked with you and the game becomes an enjoyable game, it's probably like 4 hours away from the end of the game, so you don't really get as much enjoyment out. Well, personally, didn't get as much enjoyment out as I thought.
I think I mentioned a game that seems to thrive in you feeling underpowered, and that being something you always have to overcome in the game as part of the game, kind of thing. No,
And in this game, like your main kind of weapons are glass bottles and bricks, which you use and shanks. So you use kind of glass bottles and bricks to distract people or throw them at people to kind of stun them momentarily so you can run up and beat them up. Yeah, or you've got shanks, which you can use to kind of stab people.
And then not strangle them!
And in this, there's different versions. They're essentially zombies you're fighting against, but there are different versions where they're more armored or they're harder and you can't run up and strangle them and stuff. But the majority of this game for me is less weapons and more just strangling up and strangling. But yeah, being a stealthy strangle dad, I did genuinely enjoy the story of the game. It was a bit A to B to C to, you know, it goes through the motions, but the enjoyment I found in the game towards the end sold me on going to play a sequel. Now they've kind of got through and figured out what they're doing with this game, so I'm really looking forward to playing the second one. Something I didn't put on the list, I said a couple of weeks ago, probably a month ago now, I was sent a copy of Anthem by a friend who didn't want it anymore.
Hey, that is officially the price that Anthem, you should pay for Anthem.
Given to you by someone who doesn't want to play it. It's Anthem. I'm actually enjoying it. They seem to have done some stability updates and stuff from when I last played the game. Starting it from the beginning has been quite enjoyable, though a lot of those like big tutorial set pieces and stuff to lure you in, and then it kind of turns repetitive. But for the most part, I'm enjoying flying around being Iron Man, essentially.
You've got to take a break from being Strangled Dad sometimes, haven't you?
The whole point was, like, play this game early on, give it a little bit of a try, get yourself ready, because at some point they are meant to be doing some big update to this game, doing a lot of improvements and stuff. At this moment in time, I really hope they fix those load times, because that is the thing that is taking me out of the game.
I'm not gonna lie. The flying bit of it is absolutely brilliant. They've absolutely nailed that. But there's just not much there underneath it. It feels that it's very much kind of the framework for something that should be good. It exists in the universe. It should be really exciting to interact with. But
it seems very launch Destiny.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Which I think is a comment you've made before. But yes. And I like as well one of the characters. I don't know the types of javelins and what they call, but I basically got the one with the cape who is essentially...
Yes, he's my favourite as well. Yeah,
I've got a warlock version of Iron Man, so I'm very happy with that. That's pretty fun to play as. But it seems a bit OP, so I might go back to a regular one as a secondary, just what? Kind of play through. And well, yeah, because it seems everyone's a flipping warlock version of Iron Man.
Because they are the best.
They are the best, but there's lightning flying everywhere, and I'm thinking of just kind of limiting myself a little bit, trying someone else.
Where's fun in that, Coleman?
We'll see. But yep, I'm actually quite enjoying it. But those loading, it's the load times. It takes so long to load the flipping game up and actually get into the open world. And then after you're done, you fly around for a bit, and then it's another loading screen that takes a 6 minute loading screens.
Yep.
What is this, the Amiga? So yeah, I get that kind of stuff takes me out of the game and makes I go, oh, do you know what? I fancy playing some Anthem. I really can't be bothered to load it up. It's
makes you want to strangle something, doesn't it, Coleman?
It makes me want to strangle a cauliflower headed zombie. Yeah.
Here, boy.
Yeah. Right. Are we done?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I think we should be done, but not before Tim reminds us that Tuesday is indeed Tuesday and tells you about a thing that he's already talked about. So this is classic Tim fodder. Take it away.
Vintage Hibs.
Tuesday is indeed a Tuesday, and each and every Tuesday we do an event called Tabletop Tuesday at the Loading Bar in Dalston. As we already alluded to in the show, we have a different feature game every week. If you play the feature game, you can win a copy of the feature game. And this week's feature game
is completely new information.
Is the excellent God of War, the card game.
Oh my God, I never saw that coming.
No.
You should have let us guess what the game was.
Yeah. Tic-tac-toe.
Could have done. But yeah, look, as I said, really enjoyable. I've learned this so I can hopefully help teach things. It is quite a long game, so we'll be playing like teacher sessions of it. Shorter sessions
of
it.
Wow, that's made that game sound cool.
Shorter sessions of it just to kind of get everyone through a game.
Will there be an exam?
And you'll be able to come back and play a full game at some point in time in the future. But it's a really good one. I think it's a good one to be taught because it's not that fiddly, but it's a bit difficult to learn if that's it's something where
so it's not difficult to learn, but it is difficult to learn is what you just said.
Well, no, that's not exactly what I said, and that's why I said exactly what I said in the way that I said it. But anyway, if you come along and just play the game on the evening, you have a chance of winning a copy of the game that evening. Where we have three copies of the game this evening going around. It does up to four people at once, although you can play the game solo.
Does up to four people at once, just like Kratos.
Yes. Well, he could probably handle a few more. But anyway.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What does it go for?
Game of the year. If you want more details, you can check the top left-hand corner of bigredbarrel.com where there is more details of the game. And you can also check out Tabletop Tuesday. I should sort of mention that this is probably putting a bit of pressure on Coleman, but it's the 21st of January we're talking about for Tuesday. There will be another game that we'll be announcing at the end of the night, and that will be on the 28th, obviously.
Do you know what the game? Do you know what the game on the 28th is?
Yes.
That might be more realistic.
That might be more realistic. Should I release that? No, I won't release that information at this time, Mr. Coleman.
Great.
But yeah.
I bet Coleman's chuffed that you're keeping that close to your chest.
The next couple of months are all awesome games, so it doesn't really matter too much when you get to come along and play. But yeah, new
game every week. Mornings tomorrow, not evening.
Yeah, so this may not come out in time. But God of War was this week's feature game. I'll talk about next week's feature game. Well, I'll let you guys talk about it because I won't actually be here for next week's podcast.
That's great.
I will be on mission.
I miss you when you're not on, Tim, but I love that the Tabletop Tuesday sections take half a minute. That is Tabletop Tuesday on the 21st of January, also the 28th. Be there at the Loading Bar in Dalston, London to play some God of War, another game, on the 28th of January.
Yes. Indeed. Another game. Lovely. Right. So that is that. That took four times longer than I expected. And we do just have a little bit of community feedback. And Jump and XP on our Discord, which you can find the link to on the top right bit of the front page of BiggerAtBarrel.com, asks, by law, what video game does everyone have to play? Or what video game, by law, would everyone get locked up for playing?
What's illegal and what's mandated?
Tetris, everyone has to play or they get locked up.
Yep.
Minecraft, everyone gets locked up.
Oh, really? Wow. Game everyone has to play. Sorry, I just accidentally twonked my mic there. I'll do that again. The game I think everyone should play, otherwise they get strangled by
Strangled Dad.
I think everyone should play Journey.
Mm.
Little bit of a curveball for you there, because I think that's a genuinely great experience. The game that everyone should get locked up for playing. I'm going to have to come back to me on that one.
All right. I think by law, everyone has to play fighting games, but in couch versus, not online.
Bring back arcades, is what you're saying, really.
Everyone has to play arcade fighting
games.
Right.
And I am outlawing any VR game and Destiny.
No.
What?
Why would you do that?
What?
You're evil man.
All right. Okay, here we go. This is different from the one I said last time. I've got it. All right. My game that if you play this, you should get locked up for just frankly being an idiot is Link, The Faces of Evil.
Is that the one that on the 3DO?
Was the Zelda
that's
game.
That's the Philips CDI.
Yeah, that's the one that released on the Philips CDI.
CDI,
this game.
Okay.
It's so bad.
Oh, God, yeah. That I don't even care about the property that much, and that still gives me nightmares.
Bendy faces for the win.
Also a board game right in front of me called How to Rob a Bank. So I guess if you play that, I know you said video games, but that's you should probably get arrested for just playing that game. It's a good game.
Also, on the subject of community feedback, we've had a lot of comments and stuff because I did put out a thing saying, hey, lost an episode. Very sorry. We'll try and make it up to you. That's this episode, funnily enough. So sorry if it wasn't what you were expecting, but thank you for... surprisingly, a lot of people said that's okay. You know, one said, that's okay, I've got a big backlog to get through. Why aren't you listening every week? It's got to be weird. Like, you're celebrating Easter and we're talking about Christmas. But
hey,
most
you know,
people
one's Jesus, one zombie Jesus. It's, you know, that's the only difference, really.
Most people have been supportive that there was an episode lost and they don't feel entitled about it, and that's all good. So
yeah,
which
is good. Talking which, we had a lovely podcast review in the Apple Podcast bit, because it's no longer iTunes if you're on certain platforms, but on other platforms it still is iTunes. Anyway, we did a podcast, someone reviewed it. It's Bloodhunter LG. And he describes us as a full stop, very full stop, good full stop, podcast full stop, and 5 stars. So thank you very much. And he even thinks, and you know, I think this must have been a one-off Bloodhunter, we have some great opinions.
Uh-huh.
Really?
I cannot promise that we're going to continue in that vein.
Did we
we'll
voice
do our
any
best
of
you,
them
mate.
on an episode? Really?
Bloodhunter LG, you can find us on Discord. You can find us on Discord, Facebook, and Twitter, and on BigRedBarrel.com. But I'd like to know where you started. What was the episode?
What was your gateway drug?
Yeah. What brings you into this show? Because we do a lot of callbacks to old jokes.
Yeah, we do.
I've listened to other episodes and go, I can't believe we're referencing a joke from 2 years ago. You know that kind of.
Look, as we all know, me and Tim have a very limited selection of jokes. We've got to recycle them. Yeah. There's no other way.
We've even recycled that joke. So, and I've probably recycled saying that we've recycled that joke.
Exactly. So
and the Destiny's ones, got no story.
Yep.
Exactly. So, and Anthem, I'll come back to Anthem in a couple of episodes. So, yeah, I reckon we've probably, you know, that's the next 100 episodes sewn up pretty much, all right?
I look forward to the next few 100 episodes of crapping on the Stadia.
I'm not sure it's going to be that many. Don't worry.
I think it's going to kick the bucket well before then.
At least 50.
All right,
I'm
okay.
Going with 25.
Whoa.
Right, so we are definitely going to go now because poor old Coleman's got to edit this because Tim went, oh, well, let's tell you about Tabletop Tuesday that's tomorrow. thank you ever so much for listening. As usual, make sure you go to BigRedBarrel.com or Facebook.com/BigRedBarrel or Twitter.com/BigRedBarrel or StuffandThings.com/XYZ/BigRedBarrel. All those things. Mm-hmm.
Those are some things.
Those are some things. We'll probably be doing another show later this week to keep on a regular schedule. Not sure how much we're going to have to talk about, since we're a bit of what was going to be in next
also,
week.
Also, sans Tim. Week.
Yep. What? No me.
Also, sans Tim.
So it's definitely going to be a quick show.
Yep.
at least 30 minutes long.
Yes, indeed. So thank you ever so much for listening. And I think all that's left is to remind you that I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim in a log flume.
I have been Colin. Reminder to go on Discord. I'm going to do some stuff on Discord. I'm going to start putting some little secret bits up on there and
ooh,
stuff.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. And watch this space on bigredbarrel.com. Summons are coming.
Summons are coming.
Right. It's coming a lot quicker than I realised, but it's coming.
It happens to us all. anyway, well, thank you ever so much for listening. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle bye. Baby, we are born to play.
You and your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.
All I can hear is my neighbours opening and slamming their door upstairs. I'm wondering if that's all picking up on the recording.